Turning our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel, and we're coming to chapter 3, continuing our series in the life of Samuel, and we've come to 1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning. First Samuel chapter 3, and we'll begin to read at verse number 1. Really, we're looking at all of this chapter. We'll read the first number of verses, and I think you'll be very familiar with the story that we have here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Not a story in the sense of something that's made up. This is the infallible word of God, but I think you'll understand where I'm coming from this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called thee not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. He answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. We'll end at verse 10, but do keep your Bibles open. And we do trust the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, inerrant, infallible, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. When we've come to 1 Samuel, we've had a number of references to the temple, and I think I should point out that the temple hadn't yet been constructed. We know the temple wasn't built until the days of Solomon, and so this is a reference to the tabernacle. But the tabernacle somehow had been made more of a permanent structure. We look in chapter 3, verse 15, it talks about Samuel opening the doors. Over in 1 Samuel 1, verse 9, it talks about the post or the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. If you look at verse 3 in our reading this morning, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The ark of the Lord was there. So this is the tabernacle, sometimes called the temple, sometimes called the tabernacle, and it had become more of a permanent structure. It's interesting, that's the first mention of the ark of God for 200 years in the Bible. Last mentioned in, I think it's round about Judges chapter 20, where Israel had, particularly the tribe of Benjamin, had sinned in a hideous way. But here for 200 years, they seemed they weren't talking about the ark of the Lord, a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was just struck by the fact that Samuel was lying down near to the ark. Isn't it wonderful when we put our head in the pillows night as a child of God, that we can sleep in peace because we have the Lord with us? The psalmist said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I don't know how you sleep at night. The thought that you could close your eyes and perhaps never open them again, but perhaps open them in a lost eternity. It's good when you put your head in the pillow to have the Lord with you. I want to talk first of all about the spiritual condition here this morning. I want to see something that I've called actual. Look at verse 1. And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Here is Samuel, and he's serving the Lord, and in spite of all the darkness that's around him. Don't be looking for excuses to do nothing for the Lord. If you're looking for excuses, as Garth has reminded us this morning, the devil will give you plenty of lies and plenty of excuses for doing nothing for him. But Samuel wasn't looking excuses. And here the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. But notice what it says after that. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. I remember reading that for the first time and thinking, boy, that's great. The word of the Lord's precious, but of course the meaning of the word is rare. And of course something that is rare is precious. We can understand that. The idea behind is that really the word of the Lord was practically unheard of in those days. God had stopped speaking by and large. There wasn't any appetite for the word of God. We know from Eli that his sons had corrupted worship. We'll discover it in chapter 7, verse 3. They're told to put away the strange gods and Asherahs from among you. We know that idolatry was rampant. And so it seems that God's people, the children of Israel, didn't really want to hear from the Lord. And so the Lord says, you can have it your own way. And so God speaking became a rare, rare thing. Notice what else it says. There was no open vision in those days. There was no clear, dynamic presentation of the Word of God. The Word of God wasn't being given to anyone, and there was no one there to open up the Word of God. Now, this doesn't mean that God didn't speak at all. We know from 1 Samuel 2:27, there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. And that was a private word that God sent to him through a man of God. But by and large, there was no preaching of the word. God wasn't speaking and the word wasn't being preached. The word vision there is the same word that's used in Proverbs 29, verse 18. And I wonder sometimes, have we got the wrong grasp of this verse? You know the verse when I say it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I've often looked at that, and if God's people haven't got a vision, have no vision for the lost, have no vision for those who are going to Christ as hell, then they're going to perish. But that word vision is the exact same word. It means a clear presentation of the Word of God. In other words, where there is no preaching, the people perish. Isn't it sad in our days that through many churches in our province there are no gospel meetings any longer? Isn't it sad that for many of God's people the Sunday morning is that's it? That's their sum total commitment? And the preaching of the gospel seems to be irrelevant, seems to be unimportant. Where there is no clear presentation of the gospel, the people perish. And that's the day in which Samuel lived. But Samuel continued to minister unto the Lord. There's no darkness worse than this darkness. When God withdraws his word, this is what Amos said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, and I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, and how awful that would be, nor a thirst of water, how terrible that would be, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. It's worse than a famine. It's worse than no water. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. To think that God could withdraw his word. It's a bleak picture, isn't it? You see the physical here. Look at verse 1 to 3 again. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, obviously it was night time, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, or the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And I think here's a physical condition that Eli had. It says his vision basically was impaired. You can see the lamp of God was about to go out. It was coming to nighttime. But I think the physical thing here is a picture of their spiritual condition. There is dim spiritual vision. The light was about to go out. In the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, the Lord talks about removing the candlestick. And you see, when a church gets away from the Lord, when a church no longer preaches the truth, God can take away the candlestick. Doesn't mean they don't still have a building. Doesn't mean they still don't have a name. Indeed, they have a name that they live with, but they're dead. Doesn't mean they might even have a crowd. But the lamp has gone and the candlestick has been removed and there's absolutely no spiritual light there at all. What about your life this morning? Did you once burn brightly but it's just a flicker? And the lamp's about to go out this morning? And do you need that flame rekindled this morning? You see, God's about to turn things around here. And God can turn things around for you this morning. You see the spiritual condition, you see the actual, you see the physical, but then comes the Samuel. And what a difference Samuel is going to make. Look at the end of the chapter, verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Do you see the presence of the Lord? If we're to be successful, spiritually successful in our walk with the Lord, in our ministry for the Lord, whatever we do for the Lord, here is something we can't do without. We need the Lord to be with us. And the Lord was with Samuel. You need that supernatural help, or else all that we do will be in the flesh. You see his presence. You see the proclamations of Samuel. Look at verse 19. I'm just showing you the light that Samuel was in such a dark situation. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And that let none of his words fall to the ground. When Samuel said it, the Lord backed it up. Because Samuel got it from the Lord. None of his words would fall to the ground, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Over in Deuteronomy, we're told if a prophet should make a prophecy and it doesn't come to pass, he's a fraud. We have many frauds in Ulster. Some have made great prophecies about what was going to happen. Revivals were going to come. This was going to happen. That wasn't going to happen. It didn't happen. The Bible says they're a fraud. They're frauds. You shouldn't listen to people like that, but Samuel was the real McCoy. And I say this reverently. When Samuel said it, God backed him up because God first gave it to Samuel before he said it. There was no fraudulent preaching. There was no erroneous preaching by Samuel. You see the presence here. God was with him. You see the proclamations. You see the people. Look at 1 Samuel 3 verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Let me say this. If God gifts you, people will know it. And people will see it. And when you get someone up and they're sharing the word of God or testifying or bringing a word around the table, I'll tell you, you can see those who are gifted in that particular area. And I say again, God has given you a gift. You have to discover what this gift is. I'll tell you, if you make yourself willing and you make yourself available, God will reveal what he wants you to do. And God has something for you to do. And it'll be obvious to the people. It was obvious to all who were around there that here was a man gifted by God. And a man whom God was going to use. You see the presence. You see the proclamations. You see the people. You see the picture. Look at verse 21. Because this is how things have changed. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Remember, there was no open vision. Remember, the word of the Lord was precious. But here's the Lord appearing again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. You can see the difference that Samuel is starting to make. Samuel was prepared to be different, and now he was making a difference. And I say to our young people, if you want to make a difference, you're going to have to be different. Samuel had to be different than Eli's boys. Samuel had to be different than what the world wanted. And where the world was going and what the world wanted them to believe. Samuel says, I'm going to be different. And when you're different, then you'll make a difference. You see the spiritual condition. Let's look at this special calling this morning. Look at verse number 2. We'll see the timing here. And it came to pass at that time. You know, God's about to step in. Maybe this is just a word for you this morning. Just today. Today God's about to start again with you. The light has been flickering. It's dim. But God hasn't given up on you. God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't written you off. God hasn't put a pen through your name and said, I'm finished with him. I'm finished with her. God has something for you to do. And it seemed that God would have been right just to let Israel go, but God wasn't about to let them go. At that time, God was about to do something. He was about to step in. As we think of the timing, you see the confusion here in verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out into the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now he's about to be wakened. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. So far, so good. God speaking to Samuel, verse 5. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Eli didn't expect God to speak. That's how dark it was. Samuel had never heard the Lord speak before. And so Samuel runs to Eli, and Eli sends him back to bed. And of course, this is repeated three times. Now, Samuel was only a child, it's understandable. And Samuel hadn't heard the word of the Lord in this sense before. But isn't it true that sometimes we do what Samuel has done here? We hear the word of the Lord, but we put it down to man. God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel thought it was Eli. And sometimes God speaks through the word of God, through the pulpit, through the preacher. And sometimes you can say to yourself, he is getting at me. I'm not, I promise you. I never sit down to prepare a message with a list of names and thinking that'll do him and that'll do her and that'll do them. I don't do that. I just preach what God has given me. If God's word comes to you in the power of the Spirit of God, take it as thus saith the Lord. Don't do what Samuel does here and says that's just Eli speaking. Don't we do that with the word of God sometimes? Can't we fall out with the preacher? Can't we fall out with the church? I know people get annoyed with churches. I've seen it in the past because of something that's preached. They think the preacher is just getting at them. Maybe he is. If he is, he has to answer to the Lord. But some more than not, we can take God's word and we can put it down to a man. Or we can do what Jonah does. We can hear the word of the Lord. We can understand the word of the Lord, but we can head in a different direction. You see the confusion here. Samuel thinks it's Eli. You see the qualification here. You see, we were reading earlier that Samuel had ministered unto the Lord. Samuel was faithfully obeying the Lord. Notice how he responds here in verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, he answered, here am I. Look at verse 5, and he ran. If you look at verse 6, Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. No matter how often he thought Eli was talking, Samuel was up and Samuel ran. You see his obedience. You see his dedication. You see his commitment. Those are the qualifications God's looking for. Yes, people can have a piece of paper that qualifies them in so many ways and thank God for it. But here's the qualifications that the Lord is looking for people to use. People who are committed, people who are faithful, people who are dedicated, people who've got the zeal that Samuel had here. You see the confusion as we think of the timing. You see the qualification. You see the salvation in verse number 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the Lord of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I personally believe that as far as Samuel was concerned, he was a child of God. But I think he didn't know the Lord in this sense. Because there was no open vision. God had never spoken to him in a way like this before. But you know, we could apply it this morning, couldn't we? Here's a young man, and he's in the temple, he's with the people of God, he's hearing the word of God, he's got all the privileges, and he still doesn't know the Lord. And maybe that's you this morning. So privileged. We could say, thou art not far from the kingdom of God this morning. So privileged, but so perilous. You're so close, but still not saved. I don't want to say too much about that this morning, but look what it says in verse 10. The Lord came and stood and called. Isn't that what we want God to do? To come, to stand and to call and to speak into people's hearts. Here's a special calling. You see the timing. We think of the timing. There's the confusion, the qualification, the salvation. Then there's the perception, verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And here's Eli in a better light here. Eli understands now this is God speaking. And Eli shares this with Samuel. And here's this older man. This would mean that Eli basically was going to be set aside. This would mean that God had raised up someone to do something that Eli hadn't done or no longer was going to be asked to do. And what does this older believer do? He encourages Samuel. Many a young Christian has been held back by the jealousy of older Christians. Many young Christians have been held back. Held back from growing with the Lord. Held back from going on with the Lord. Because people hold on to positions and hold on to power. Fearful that some young man or some young lady would be raised up by God to do something for God. But thank God Eli's different here. He's not going to stand in Samuel's way. You see the confusion, you see the qualification, you see the salvation, the perception, and then you see the description as well. Just a few remarks here as we think of this calling. Samuel was young, but that was no barrier for God using him. God speaks to him personally. Indeed, the last time God speaks to him, he says, "Samuel, Samuel," to emphasize it. God spoke to him directly. God spoke to him patiently 4 times. God spoke to him clearly. God spoke to him tenderly. Is God speaking to you? Has God been speaking again and again? You see the special calling, we think of the timing, we can see something tremendous here. Look at the appearance in verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called." The Lord came, the Lord stood, and the Lord called. That's what we want for every meeting in Roof Island. We want the Lord to come, we want Him to stand in our midst, and we want Him to call. We want God to speak. That's what we want to see. Has the Lord spoken to you about salvation? Has the Lord spoken to you about service? Has the Lord brought a word of encouragement? Has the Lord brought a word of rebuke? You see, the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'm going to break that down for the young people tonight. God wants to show us what's right. He wants to show us what's not right. He wants to show us how to get right. And He wants to show us how to keep it right. And that's part of my study for the young people this evening. You see, the appearance here, God comes and stands and calls. You see the appeal in verse 9. "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee." I wonder, did old Eli secretly maybe hope that he wouldn't call him? "If he shall call thee, then thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Do you see Samuel's advice here? "Speak, Lord," from Eli, "for thy servant heareth." And I believe the Lord Himself had appeared here. Look at verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called at another time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, Samuel drops the word Lord, and some people are critical of Samuel for this. It's likely that Samuel could see the Lord. And Samuel didn't have to say, "Speak, Lord." He just says, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." But I want to apply it to you and I this morning. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Are you willing, honestly, to come to the Lord this morning and say, "Speak"? Do you really want to hear from Him this morning? Are you willing to say, "Speak, Lord"? Because when the Lord speaks, it comes with authority. It's not the pastor speaking. It's not even your wife, your husband, or your mum, or your dad. This is the Lord. Are you willing to say, "Speak, I want to hear"? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I know it comes with authority, and I'm going to bow to your authority"? Don't ask the Lord to speak if you don't want to hear what He has to say. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant." Are you willing to do what God asks you to do? This is a big thing to do. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Are you willing to say, "Lord, I'm listening. I've come into Roof Island Baptist this morning, and Lord, I want you to speak to me. And Lord, I know it's the Lord that's speaking to me. And Lord, I'm a humble servant this morning. And yes, Lord, I'll hear. I'm going to listen. Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. Waiting for thy gracious word, longing for the voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me?" Do you want to make a difference? Then you're going to have to be different. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." It's a big prayer. You see the spiritual condition. You see the special calling. Then we see the servant's commission. Now, what has the Lord got Samuel to do here? Look at verse 11. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." That word "tingle" is used in 1 Kings 21 verse 12. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth it, both his ears shall tingle. Again in Jeremiah 19 with a message of judgment, his ears shall tingle. We live in a day when people don't want their ears to tingle. That means they sit up and listen. And the fear of God fills their heart. And God's speaking. And the ears are tingling. People want ears tickled. In 2018, that's what Paul says. People will have itching ears. And I haven't looked at the word itching in the Greek, but as I think of tickling, you know, it's something light, isn't it? It's something frivolous. It's something humorous. Sometimes it's something inappropriate. And that's what our pulpits are filled with. And the people love to have it so. Tickle my ears. Don't cause my ears to tingle. Don't challenge me about my walk with God. Don't challenge me about my life. Don't try and encourage me to have a closer walk with the Lord. And God can cause our ears to tingle. I have sat in meetings where God has scared the life out of me and said things I didn't want to hear. And I'll tell you, my ears were tingling. If you want your ears tickled, you've come to the wrong place. You see the tingling, you see the judging, verse 12. On that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, which I begin. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him I will judge his house forever. And we know what his sons had done. They had made themselves vile, and God's going to judge them. And young Samuel, God's coming and says, Samuel, I've got a message for you. It's going to cause ears to tingle. And it's a message of judgment. Look at verse 11. You see the knowing, the tingling, the judging, and the knowing. For I have told him, that's Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. There must have been a time when God spoke to Eli and says, Eli, your boys are out of line. You have them working in the tabernacle, in the temple, and they're not fit to be there. And Eli, you're going to have to draw them in. You're going to have to sort them out. Or else you're going to have to put them out. Eli knew what he had to do. Eli knew what God wanted him to do, but Eli didn't bother. He had ignored the word of God. And God was exposing to Eli his sin. But Eli didn't listen. Has God spoken to you? You see what it says in verse 13, because his sons made themselves vile, you see the committing of their sin. But look at verse 14. I've just called it repenting, and it's not a good title because there was no repenting. And therefore have I sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering forever. What a verse of scripture. God saying to Eli, there's nothing that you can do to stay my hand of judgment. You've gone too far. God had given him space to repent. God had given him time. God was gracious. God was merciful. God had spoken to him because he knew. And Eli turned a blind eye to the word of God and a deaf ear to the voice of God. And his heart became hardened, and Eli just went on his way, ignoring what was going on and how the worship of the Lord was being corrupted and polluted. And Eli just sat back in his hands and did nothing. And God says, now it's too late to do anything about it. There's no repentance now. And God's going to step in and judge. Listen, sinner, today. If God has been speaking to you, and I was speaking at a youth meeting on Friday night. I was speaking at a harvest last night. But at the youth meeting on Friday night, happened to be the 12th of October. I was telling them I was saved on the 12th of October, 1986, 32 years ago. And I remember the night I was saved, I felt in my heart that my heart had hardened so much, had got away from the Lord, away from the gospel, I had no interest, but God brought me back and gave me another opportunity. And I believe that was my final opportunity to get right with God. And you can push God too far. And God can say, let them go. Let them go to hell. That's what he did with Judas. Judas got up from the table and he went out into the dark. And the Lord Jesus sat there and just let him go to hell. Because Judas had gone too far. And Eli has gone too far. Isn't it interesting that Samuel's just a child, but God's speaking to him about sin? Could I say to Sunday school teachers, could I say to young people's workers, could I say to those in the Good News Club, don't be afraid to tell the children about sin. Don't pussyfoot about. I see some of the publications coming out and some organizations nearly apologize for the gospel. I'll tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And the little ones need to know that they're born in sin. They're shaping in iniquity. Now, I know you'll be sensitive, and I know you're not trying to push young people into to make professions. We know that. But I'll tell you, but don't pussyfoot around the children. Tell them that they're sinners, and tell them there's a Savior who loves them. And here's God speaking to Samuel the child, and he's telling them all about sin. You see the spiritual condition, we're nearly finished. You see the special calling, you see the servant's commission. You see Samuel's contemplation here. Samuel was going to have to share this message of judgment, but look at the sincerity of Samuel in verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I believe it's implied here that God expected Samuel to share this with Eli, even though he's not told directly to do it. But here's the thing. I don't believe Samuel slept a wink that night. He's lying there and he's thinking of the judgment of God that's going to fall. And if Samuel's going to preach the judgment of God, it says Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Samuel will do it with a tear in his eye. And from a broken heart. And too many people will preach about hell as if it's not real. And they don't understand it. And they don't appreciate it. And they haven't contemplated that someone listening to them could die and go to hell. It's real. And preach it, but preach it with a tear in your eye. And preach it with a sincere heart. You see Samuel's sincerity. You see Samuel's humility. God had appeared to Samuel. God had spoken to Samuel. And look what Samuel does in verse 15. He opens the doors of the house of the Lord. He didn't get carried away with it. And I have seen people in churches that I have pastored and God has gifted them and they become so full of their own importance that things began to be beneath them. And I'll tell you, God set them aside. But here's Samuel, and the Lord appeared and stood, imagine, and spoke to him directly, Samuel, Samuel. The next morning, Samuel didn't go and say, Eli, I'm finished with opening the doors. I'm finished with putting on the lights. I'm finished with all these menial tasks. No, he got up and he did what God had asked him to do the day before. You see his humility. Don't ever think you're too big for God to ask you to do something that you think's beneath you. You see the sincerity, you see the humility, you see how faithfully he does it. Verse 16, and Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. You see God opening the door here. God do to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And then in verse 18 it says, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. Hallelujah. A man of God with the message of God holding nothing back from God. That's what you need in North Island. That's the preacher you need to listen to. That's the message you need to take in. A man of God holding nothing back, even if you don't want to hear it. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Again, Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. Don't even change a word. Give them all the message, or don't bother giving them any of the message. You see Samuel's contemplation. We see the spiritual condition, we're finished. You see the special calling, you see the servant's commission, you see Samuel's contemplation. God has asked Samuel to do something difficult. Has God asked you to do something difficult? May not be in ministering to someone, it may be something very personal. No, Jeremiah was commissioned by the Lord in Jeremiah 1 verse 10. See, I have set this day thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. And here's what he was asked to do. This is the message he's asked to preach. To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Six verbs, four of them negative. You're to root out, you're to pull down, you're to destroy, you're to throw down. Jeremiah 1 verse 10. Maybe God has asked you to root something out of your life. Maybe God has asked you to pull something down. Maybe God has asked you to destroy something. Maybe God has asked you to throw something away because it's not helping you. And then he went on to say, to build and to plant. Before you can build, before you can grow, before you can go on. Maybe there has to be some things that have to be rooted out and pulled down and thrown out and destroyed. I don't know. I know God spoke to me and I had to have a spring clean. It was one of the most painful things I ever had to do. And I wept. Was God asking you to have a spring clean? Is God asking you to do something difficult? Are you brave enough to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Master, speak and make me ready. When thy voice is truly heard, with obedient, glad and steady, still to follow every word. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak. Oh, speak. Speak to me. Let's pray.